You are listening to The Beckett Cook Show with your host, Beckett Cook. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com. To help support the podcast, visit patreon.com/The Beckett Cook Show. Please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a 5-star rating.
Hey guys, welcome to the Beckett Cook Show. I'm Beckett Cook. This is China Baldwin.
China Baldwin.
And we're doing kind of our monthly check-in.
Yes.
And so
it's the
today,
best. It's the best.
The
our
best.
Monthly check-ins.
We're here in lovely Santa Barbara, Montecito, next to this beautiful fire.
So cozy.
And you know, the new year is about to happen.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to ask you, tell me kind of what in 2020, this has been a crazy year.
Mm-hmm. You think?
Yeah. It's been a very, very...
Have you been holding on for one more day?
I've been holding on for one more day. But tell me about your 2020 in terms of your walk with the Lord, your spiritual growth. What are kind of some of the highlights? What's happened? Because I know you were having some problems before.
Yeah.
Kind of seeing God as Father.
Mm-hmm. Wait, these are two separate questions.
Okay. start with the first question.
Okay, do you have anything I can bang my head against before I answer the question? Because I literally had such a terrible year. But the best part of this year was meeting you.
Oh.
No, I mean it.
That's so sweet.
It's the truth. You are just such an amazing, huge gift in my life. And just being able to like call you at any time, day or night, and be like, Pastor! I call him Pastor because why shouldn't I? I mean, he knows everything about anything there is to know about God and the Word. And he went to seminary school. And yes, that's amazing. But just your heart, just... You know, you just got such a beautiful heart.
Thank you. Well, I feel the same way about you, meeting you this year. We met. Thank when did you. We meet?
We met when I called Stephen in January, I think it was, or February.
No, it was really hot outside, though.
But there was already coronavirus, so it had to be later because there was already.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It was like in the summer
in
L.A. We met in L.A.
Yeah. But it was weird because I had done... a California preaching, and I'd spoken a little bit about homosexuality, and every other comment was, get A Change of Affection by Beckett Cook. You have to read this amazing book by Beckett Cook. And I was like, who's this Beckett Cook? And then literally the following day, I called Stephen to ask him if he would be on my show, Stephen Baldwin. And and he was like, yes, and you should think about having my friend Beckett, who I'm sitting with right now, to be on your show as well. And I was like, oh yeah, maybe, I don't know. And then
like whatever.
I don't know. And then he was like, his name is Beckett Cook and he's written a book called Change of Affection. I went, what are you talking about? Is this the Beckett Cook that everyone on my channel is commenting about? And I said through the speakerphone, I was like, wait a minute, are you the Beckett Cook that wrote the book on homosexuality? And you were like, yes.
That's hilarious.
And then I met you, was literally a few days later.
Yeah. And I remember that day being so hot. Because I remember things like in temperature. Like you probably loved it because you're always cold. But
it was even hot for me.
It was so hot.
That's
and I was dying, but it was great.
Yeah. Meeting. And we all had fans blowing right directly in our faces during the interviews. And it wasn't helping at all. That's how hot it was. But, you know, 2020, it's been really, really difficult. I mean, obviously, I've had a child that has had a health crisis. And that has been really challenging. I mean, Vance is open about it. He had cancer. Our son was diagnosed when he was 16. And it was really gnarly. I always add the G just for that extra.
Very
gnarly. And it was super painful and scary. I can't even really access the feelings sometimes. Like it comes and goes, kind of like grief comes in waves. You can't, like if you lose somebody you love, you're not crying 24/7. You know, you're laughing one minute and then you're hysterically crying the next. It's kind of that way with a cancer diagnosis. You know, obviously you can't feel the intensity of that diagnosis 24/7. So thank God for that. I think that's God's way of its survival instinct.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. He created the human body that way.
Yeah.
So that's been really rough, but thank you, Jesus. He's doing great. And then I lost my other mother, Jackie.
That was in 2020?
Well, it was actually in 2019. So it's a little bit of a stretch, but I've still been grieving that. And yeah. I haven't completely dealt with it yet because I've had to deal with my son and his recovery, and I haven't had a chance to properly grieve it. So 2020 has been...
So Jackie, to explain okay. why she was your other mother.
Yeah, so Jackie was... Let's just say my best friend, my mother, my sister, even my daughter, all wrapped into one person. She was 25 years older than me, and she was a homosexual woman who was not practicing. She wasn't in a relationship with anybody, but for several years. I mean, when I met her in 91, she hadn't had a girlfriend in 4 years, and the whole time I knew her, she never was in a relationship. So she just wasn't practicing, but she definitely identified as gay. And
was your mother, Michelle, close to her?
Yeah, they had a really nice friendship. It was beautiful because, of course, that concerned me because I was worried that there might be some envy there or yeah. some... you know, hurt feelings. I was always very sensitive about that, but my mom loved Jackie. I mean, there was really not that much not to love. She was this beautiful, like, you know, British, thick British accent. Everything was like, oh, it's bloody brilliant, you know? And she was just a beautiful person. And she was a grandmother to my children. And I think that's where I was worried about the competitiveness coming in because my mom, you know, obviously loves her grandchildren. And yes. I didn't want her to feel like there was any competition for that role. But Jackie was able to be there for me in many ways that my mom couldn't or didn't or didn't want to be, you know, I mean, yeah. She's a wonderful woman, but, you know, she didn't want to be with me 24/7, and I like to hold people captive. So Jackie was willing to be my captive.
Yeah.
We had a beautiful friendship, and it was really, really hard when she passed yeah. away. She passed away in my arms. It was Aww. Really, really beautiful and really sad. And my kids were devastated because she was a very big part of their lives too. They called her Granny Jax.
Granny Jax.
Yeah.
And so, and what else, so in 2020, what else has been kind of a breakthrough for you that, you know, with the Lord, or what was your walk with the Lord like in 2020?
Yeah, I think that for me, I was just thinking, wow, God, you must really think that I am a bad, because I was able to handle so much stuff and he was throwing things my way. So I just thought, he must think I'm super tough. Like, he must think I am made of steel.
You're like, can I have a break, God?
Yeah, like...
But I mean, I've talked to you about this before, but, you know, because she, of course, has her show, which is amazing, California Preaching, named after California Dream and her parents' song. And
yeah, because I'm no preacher.
And I told you when you know, and she's such a gifted evangelist, and she has such a zeal and a passion for the Lord and for people to know the Lord. And so it's like, there's this, as Paul talks about in Ephesians, there's that spiritual attack, and we need to put on the full armor of God. And I'm sure Satan was not happy with you starting California Preaching.
Yeah.
Did you notice, like, when you started that show, When did you start Kyle Preach?
Officially a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
But I was ready to call it quits. I really didn't want to do it anymore because when I first started California Preaching, it was just all, I've said this on the last show that we did together, but it was just all really planned out. Literally every word I was going to say was on a teleprompter. It was all scripted.
And I love
that. Like, you know, all dressed up and the makeup. And I was... it was fun and it was inspirational, but it just wasn't my personality. And I just felt like if my own personality couldn't come out in the videos, that it just wasn't fun for me anymore. So I started to lose my zest for it, and I started to get back pain. And every time I get back pain, like a pinch between my shoulder blades, I always know it's God talking to me. Like,
yeah,
it's him always either saying like, slow down, shut up, you know, get back to basics, you know, go back to the word, just get real. And get real is really what I needed to do. I needed to get raw and real and strip it down and make it unedited. And so that's what I ended up doing. And then of course I felt just unshackled and free. And I felt like it was flowing, and the Holy Spirit was actually flowing. And then of course my viewership started to really explode. And that's how I knew that people were identifying with it and responding to it, and lives were being changed. And that was my whole mission, was to, my mission was to further the kingdom of God, and however God was going to do that, I kind of put it in his hands. But yeah, it's been a blessing.
I remember, I didn't even know you were a Christian. I didn't know much about you or your personal life. And I remember right when you started Cal Preach, I guess you'd sent the intro video or the pilot episode to Kenya Baldwin, and she showed it to me, and I was like, China Phillips is a Christian? Like, I had no idea. And it blew my mind. And I was so excited. I literally was like beaming with joy, because it's just so cool to find out like people that you know, I of course knew of your amazing music and the, you know, 80s and 90s. And then
90s, only 90s.
Sorry. Sorry. I thought it was like 89 there was something.
91.
Okay, 91. Sorry. In the 90s. But it was so cool. I remember just being so ecstatic that day. Like, oh my gosh, like China Phillips Baldwin is saved. And like not only is she saved, but she's like on fire for the Lord. And she's started this channel and is just preaching. I mean, not preaching, but just evangelizing. And it's so awesome. And I was so just blown away by that. So that was a really cool moment.
Well, I'm glad that you watched it. I'm glad Kenya shared it with you.
Yeah, I think it was before you even posted it. I think you sent
Kenya is Stephen's wife, just for anybody who doesn't. Stephen Baldwin's wife.
I don't even think you had posted it yet. Or maybe you did, and she just showed it to me. And I was just like, what?
That's amazing.
And it was such a fun, it was such a great first video.
Yeah, Tyler directed that.
I know you you were reading maybe on that first video, but it was so well done. It was like perfectly.
It was.
Yeah,
I mean, if I might say something
myself. It was really good. If you haven't watched the video,
The link to that video.
I'll post the link to the pilot video. What do you call the pilot?
It's an intro video. Yeah.
So
2020 I've been embracing the suck of 2020. Yeah. I mean, it hasn't been easy. It's definitely been challenging, and I've definitely been depressed. I've definitely been filled with anxiety, and I think I've definitely felt thankful that I've been able to stay prayed up during all of it and not lose my faith in the Lord, and to be able to almost double down, because I realize he's really the only hope. He's our only hope. And so I really clinged to that. Is it clung or cling?
Clung to that. So has it, like, was your prayer life even more intense because of that?
So I was pretty much face planting for Jesus every single morning.
We love to face plant for Jesus. I swear, I mean, this is like something, and we've talked about this, and this happened to me the other night when I usually pray on my bedroom floor. Well, not, I used to all the time, like every day, to pray on the floor, prostrate, face plant. And there's something about being that posture of humility in front of the Lord, in front of Jesus, that I swear every time I do it, and I forget, I have amnesia, but every time I do it, I just feel I'll be like, oh, this, nothing's happening. This is just pointless. God, I'm not really feeling anything. And I love you. And I praise you. I worship you. I thank you. And then all of a sudden I'll just be like, yes. Like his presence. And I'll just start weeping.
Yeah.
So there's something to the face plant.
There definitely is something to the face plant. And I think also just being able to say to God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step to take. I don't know how this is all going to play out. I don't have any control over this. You know, you're in control of everything that I'm not in control of. I'm not in control of anything. God is in control of everything. Yes. And so it's really just my prayer in 2020 has just been, okay, I'm completely out of control. So I'm completely out of control and you're completely in control.
Yeah.
So do your thing.
Do your thing.
Do your thing. You do you.
And I'll do me.
And I'll do me.
And so tell me about the breakthrough you had with calling, you know, understanding God as Father.
Yeah. So that's been a big one for me. I've always stayed away from the word Father. When I have prayed, it's always been Lord, Jesus, Savior, King, Alpha, Omega, Christ. But I would stay away from Father because it just felt fake. It just felt inauthentic and it just felt it wasn't in my zone, my comfort zone. And that's because I never had a father growing up. I did, but I didn't have a relationship with my father.
Right.
And I had a whole lot of abandonment issues, which I still have a whole lot of abandonment issues. And I still struggle with feeling like God loves me. And I still struggle with feeling like I have a father that loves me and cares for me and has plans for me to prosper and wants me in heaven. Like, I literally still struggle with that. That is something that is so frustrating and it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to admit because here I have this channel. But I think part of why the channel's working is because I'm honest about that.
Yeah, you're authentic and a lot of people are going through the same thing.
Yeah, I think that people realize I'm just one of the sheep and I'm, you know, I struggle with believing God loves me and I struggle. And it's not like break out the violins like, oh, poor China doesn't believe God loves her. He's Jesus. Of course he loves you. It's Jesus. He's going to love you. But I don't know. It's for me, I have a lot of counseling to do, I guess, in that area. I need like, you know, God is the great counselor, right?
Yeah.
And so I just keep asking my counselor to show me the love that he has for me. And I say, Lord, let me see myself the way you see me. Let me see myself through your eyes because I struggle with believing because I'm really hard on myself. I don't know. Are you hard on yourself? I'm so hard on myself.
I am.
Really hard on myself. And I think all the time, like, I'm not doing it enough. Right. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not reading the word enough. I don't know enough about the Old Testament. And I think that I heard somewhere, I don't know where, or maybe I read it, that Martin Luther King had this amazing breakthrough moment, I think in church. I'm getting the chills just about to tell you the story. And he was listening to the pastor preach, and suddenly the truth fell on him that there wasn't one thing he could do to
earn more
love from God or to earn more for his salvation.
Yeah.
That his salvation was a free gift.
Yes.
And that
Amen.
He was loved by an eternal God and that he had been striving for so many years to find favor in God's eyes.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to cry because I can understand why he wept because he had that. Literally, it was like an earthquake. It just split him in two. And he said he was never the same again once he had that revelation that he couldn't earn his way into heaven. There was nothing more, literally nothing he could do. That it was signed, sealed, and delivered. And that he was loved by God and that he was saved. And I'm waiting for that moment to happen to me, basically.
Speaking of that, I love when you say the adoption papers are signed by...
Yes, his adoption papers were signed in his own blood. Jesus Christ signed our adoption papers in his own blood.
Yes, we're adopted into the kingdom and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And
amen.
It's amazing. And so was there anything else in 2020
back to 2020. Thanks, Becky. Just keep bringing it back to 2020.
We're going to get to 2021 in a minute.
I think that this has just been, I don't wake up in the morning, and I hope this doesn't sound like bad Christian, but I don't wake up in the morning with this gigantic smile on my face, like, oh, it's a new day for Jesus, and I'm just so grateful to be alive, and I'm just going to go open my Bible and just pray for an hour. Like, that's not, I don't, you know, again, it's like I'm hard on myself, you know, like, who really feels that? I'm sure there are some people.
Well, I'm not a morning person, so.
But I felt that way. I think it's hard because we both felt that way very early in our walk. So I'm comparing and despairing.
Yeah.
Like, where's my faith? Because when I first came to Jesus, I was just so, I could read the Bible for 3-4 hours straight and time would just fly. I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, I've been reading this Bible for 4 hours. Or I would, you know, I would pray and I would... just constantly, I mean, I have Jesus on the mind all the time. I really do have Jesus on the mind all the time. I mean, I think I read a quote that said, the righteous believer has Jesus on their mind twice a day, day and night.
It's true, though.
It's true.
I think when is it Paul that says pray without ceasing?
Yeah.
I think it's Paul. Oh gosh. I should.
I think it is. I think it
is. But when he says pray without ceasing, I mean, it's obviously like we don't need to join a monastery and literally pray without ceasing and not sleep. But it is that kind of thing where I'm always kind of in touch with Jesus, like throughout the day, throughout the night, like I'm always kind of, he's on my mind.
You've got the little Jesus radar.
Yeah, he's always there, and I'm always kind of, if I'm not praying, I'm thinking about him, or like I'm interacting with him in some sort of subtle way. And so I think that's what Paul meant by pray without ceasing.
It's like the Judas radar or the Jesus radar. Like, which one are you tuned into?
Yeah. Do you have any New Year's resolutions? And like, what are you thinking?
I've been thinking about my New Year's resolutions. There's just so many aspects of my life that feel so out of control and out of whack right now. I mean, I feel like my body's been in a lot of pain, as you know. So I absolutely have to make that a priority and get my diet straight, because I know food really has a lot to do with how your body feels. And through my depression and anxiety, I've been really enjoying coffee ice cream.
I just had some coffee ice cream a second ago.
Yeah, I've been enjoying the coffee ice cream, and I've just been eating a lot. It's a comfort for me. Food is a comfort for me. And I've been wanting to fast, but I don't fast food. So I don't fast food and I don't fast food. But I've got I'm praying for the will. I'm not real. It's a lie. I am not praying for the willingness to fast because I don't want to fast.
Fasting is hard. It's
fasting
really hard.
Is horrible, but you do see results. I mean, you know, you do see results really fast from what I hear. So, I mean, you got saved through fasting, honey.
Yeah. My siblings and my family were praying and fasting for me. And so, yeah, fasting is effective.
Yeah. So maybe I'll take a half a day out and fast like on Wednesdays from 9 to 4.
I mean, you could even just fast like coffee, ice cream, or just fast something like you do every, what do you do every
Sometimes
day?
I put my phone in the drawer for an hour. I'd like to say an hour or two, but that would be a lie. I don't think I could do 2 hours without my phone.
What if you just fasted from your phone for a day?
I don't know. That would be so hard. I mean, I'm just being honest, but I'll do it if you do it.
Okay. Well, no, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's shake on it.
What are you doing?
We're shaking on it.
No.
Yeah, okay, yay. Okay, you saw it here. She's going to fast from her phone for a day.
Painful. Okay. Yikes. When is that happening?
But remember when we were kids, like, we didn't even have to fast from our phones.
I know.
Because they were, like, on the wall in the kitchen or something.
I know.
They were landlines.
Oh, I'll just eat coffee ice cream if I can't have my phone.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
So then fasting is a possibility for 2021.
Yeah, I'd like to fast a little bit because it's just such an important part of, because, you know.
It's a spiritual discipline. Jesus modeled fasting for us in the wilderness for 40 days.
That's right.
Fasting.
That's
pretty intense. So. And during the time that Jesus was fasting, when he was the weakest physically, I mean, that's when Satan was tempting him.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine?
But, no.
So I think that's a good thing. I mean, obviously 40 days is extreme. I know people who've done it, but I think it's extreme. For me, I don't know if I would probably die.
I know. I couldn't.
You, yeah.
40 days is out.
40 days is out.
But we can do 4 hours.
4 hours.
We can do 4 hours.
We can do a day or a couple days.
So 2020 in a nutshell I got coronavirus in 2020, and Billy got coronavirus in 2020, and Tyler, our assistant, got, coronavirus. You know Tyler. We love Tyler.
Yeah.
And then, our son's diagnosis, and then grieving Granny Jack's, and we had to move again into a new house. That's a whole another story. We had a financial crisis back in 2008 when the crash happened, and we had to basically start over. And, we've managed to get by, but it's been a really extraordinary time of rebuilding, and the Lord has been so good, and he's definitely helped us to get back on our feet and to be able to not have credit card debt.
Yeah.
Yes, let's just get honest here.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's good.
But so. it's all good, and it's all coming together, and I feel like 2021 is a time for laughter again and rejoicing. I mean, it says in the Bible so many times, and you always text it to me. I say rejoice. And I'm just being honest. I'm definitely not in like this rejoicing state of mind. I forget to smile. I'm missing out on a lot of smiling in my life these days. And I have got to get back to smiling and rejoicing and praising the Lord and giving back. Is something I want to work on gratitude and giving back because,
But I feel like, in the giving back thing, I feel like you truly do give so much to California Preaching.
Thank you.
And so I feel like that is a lot of giving back because it takes a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a lot of work and it's a lot of energy.
It is. And now I'm building a website, and the website's going to have a lot of merch on it. And I have a lot of one-liners on my show. And so.
What are some of I love your one-liner. I don't know where you get them.
Okay. So
genius.
Obviously I'm going to have a phone case that says Holy Spirit Activate. Okay.
Holy Spirit Activate.
Holy Spirit Activate. And then I'm going to have one that says Jesus is my rock. That's how I roll.
I love that one.
And
where did you get that?
I stole it off a mug that I found on Amazon. So I hope I don't get sued. Then I have a one-liner that is a life stitched with prayers less likely to unravel. It's a little long.
I love that.
It's a little long.
No, but I like that.
But that could be on the back of a t-shirt or something, you know. Or Jesus thinks I'm to die for.
I love that.
Really good.
you have the best one-liners. You have, I think, best
Jesus
quote.
Jesus thinks I'm to die for. And then... we also like Peace of Christ. I mean, I say Peace of Christ after every single episode of California Preaching before I end it. I always say, Peace of Christ.
Peace of Christ.
Yeah.
And where did you get Peace of Christ? Where? Because I've never really heard it phrased that way.
I know. Well, he does say, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, and my peace is not this. What does he say about it not being the same as
the
earthly
world.
Peace, worldly peace? So I just love that. Christ offers us a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting for that.
I'm still waiting on that, Lord.
Yeah. But I love saying Peace of Christ because to me, it's just immediately calming and it just immediately is, it's just imbued with what Jesus is all about, love and peace and goodness. Yeah. And the word Christ, to me, I told you this last week, for me, it brings the man and God into one Christ.
Yeah.
You know, the Jesus man, Jesus.
Truly and God and truly man.
He was truly God, truly man, not fully man and fully God.
That's correct.
Truly man.
Barely God, barely man.
That's right. Barely God?
Barely.
Oh.
Barely, barely, I said to you. Yeah, truly.
I've never heard the barely part.
Barely.
Barely. Yeah, so.
And it's funny because you recently, I think you told me the other day that when you say peace of Christ to people on the street, they, what do they think that you were saying?
Pizza crust? Pizza crust.
Pizza crust.
I'm like, how come nobody ever responds to me when I say pizza
crust? They're like,
Christ?
Pizza crust.
And my friend said, because they think you're saying pizza crust. And I was like, you know what? You might be right.
Yeah.
And then she's like, and also, it's just not something that somebody says all the time. Because I always get nervous laughter back, like, you know, I never really
Especially like, in like Santa Barbara, you know, people are not used to hearing people say, peace of Christ.
Yeah.
But it's awesome that you do that, and that you're so bold with your faith.
Aww.
And so what else in 2021? What are your goals? Kind of what?
Oh, thank goodness. We're out of 2020 now?
Yes. We're in 2021.
Okay. I really pray that I can find my, I don't want to go backwards. I don't really believe in going backwards. I mean, I really feel like I've been refined and that I've been walking through some serious fire, and the Bible does say that we will emerge like purified gold. And I'm believing in that. I'm standing on that, that I'm going to emerge like purified gold through this, these trials. And there have been many, and it's been a super painful year. And I feel like a part of myself, I don't want to say I lost a part of myself, you know, because in a way that's a good thing. In a way, you know, we die to our old self.
And yeah. And it's also like that refining process of God just pulling those things off of us.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't want to go backwards. So I guess it's just about accepting that this has been a really painful year, and accepting that it's been also a remarkable year with my channel. And even with the growth with my amazing husband, Billy, we've been able to have difficult conversations that are difficult to have in marriages. And
well, it's hard for Billy to compete with Jesus.
I don't know why.
No, but it's so yeah, I could see the, you know, there's a, you know, there's been a new man in your life for a while now.
Yeah. And he's so sweet, and he's awesome. Supportive, and he's so loving. Does it freak him out a little bit? Yeah, because I'm becoming more outspoken, like you said, and a little more bold. And I'm realizing, though, more and more that Jesus is why I was put on this planet. I was put on this planet to love and worship and adore and to serve my Creator. And that's it. And I'm going to be persecuted for it. You're going to be persecuted for it. And people are not always going to love what we have to say. And, you know,
especially now, like being a Christian in 2021 is, it's way more difficult than it was in the 80s or whatever, you know, when we were kids.
Exactly.
Like it's now it's like, is you're suddenly labeled as a bigot or whatever.
Everything has to be so politically correct.
I know.
Correct.
So it's much harder.
It's much harder. And I feel like the sweetness of Billy to just support me. He's on my channel. He does California preachings.
And chili.
We call it chili because you put chai and Billy together and it makes chili.
It's like Brangelina, but chili.
Yeah, exactly. And he's so sweet. I mean, he comes on the show and he makes people laugh. He's a natural born comedian. So that's really funny. And we're just so different. I mean, he's East Coast, I'm West Coast. He's into wrestling. I hate wrestling. He's into politics. I could care less.
He's into wrestling?
He loves.
I had no idea.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
And so we kind of have nothing in common except for our children. And
your covenant of marriage.
And our covenant of marriage. Thank you, Jesus. And our sense of humor. We laugh about the same things. And here he comes. And
I'm overhearing this.
Please come sit with Mama and do a little appearance on the Beckett Cook Show.
What was that show where the person always appeared off camera and you always just heard their voice and you never saw
them? Was it Charlie
Charlie's
Brown?
Angels.
No, but it was also Charlie Brown.
Well, that was a teacher, but wasn't there like an episode? Wasn't there a character?
Charlie's Angels.
Well, of course.
And you'll be Charlie?
I'll be Charlie.
No, you won't.
We expose Charlie.
We expose Charlie.
First of all, let me clarify. When you say Billy's into wrestling, it's not like TV wrestling.
I know. Is it
Olympic
like
and Greco-Roman freestyle, collegiate wrestling, college, NCAA wrestling?
Okay. It's like you're okay.
I do color
it's
like commentary legit, for legit ESPN. Wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Because I used to wrestle when I was younger in high school. And
you're a wrestler?
For Binghamton University. And was nothing special, but...
Honey, it was very special.
I was nothing special as a term, meaning I wasn't very good.
I think you were better than you give yourself credit for.
You know nothing about it. You just admitted before I walked in this room, so how the hell would you know? You've asked me more about wrestling in the 30 seconds since I've walked in this room than in the 30 years combined of our relationship.
I'm just so happy you don't have cauliflower ear. Because that's gross.
Yeah, you've got cauliflower brain.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. So much. That's my dad.
Oh, wait, that's your dad?
Can't you tell? That? Look at the eyebrows. He's such a Baldwin.
His college portrait.
Who painted it?
I don't know. His dad.
No idea.
His dad, mom, I guess, had it paid for when he was at Syracuse.
That's so sweet.
So he was
shorter than the Baldwins, though.
5'11".
The brothers. Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's taller than Stephen. he's built. My father was very built. He was like 5'11", like 225. Then.
Was he a...
Then he became big. He got up to like 2.
Was he a good dad?
Yes. Yeah.
He kept you guys in line.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. He wasn't messing around.
No. No. Anyway, you're so digressing and spinning out right now.
I know.
We have way more in common than... We are Ricky and Lucy. We are Green Acres. Our Green Acres is like East Coast, West Coast. We've talked about this many times. I think not on your show, but... We should do an episode together one time, the three of us. Yeah.
Let's do it right now.
Let's do it. When you talk about that, it almost kind of hurts my feelings because it felt like we.
Oh my gosh!
Like we
I'm hurting everybody's feelings.
You are. You're just. Well, you're just. Yeah.
Do you miss?
I just feel like we do have a lot more in common than you realize, or you're willing to admit, or you understand.
But you always say we have nothing in common.
No, I also think in a relationship, part of a relationship and building and improving a relationship is to find new fun things to do together. And every time I throw up something, you like...
Like traveling, like wine tasting,
taking us a wine tasting class, going on a hike together. Oh, my hip, oh, my back, oh, my hips. I can't do it. You can't even go for a hike. I go for a beach walk. The sand. I have to take a shower. I'm just trying to find things for us to like have common interests, and they're not hard. Like hold hands on the beach.
You can do that.
I can walk.
Yes. See, they love each other.
So much. That's something that we have very much have in common.
That's the thing. Like both. It's rare that both. Parties are so much fun in a marriage. Because, like, my parents, like, my dad wasn't really fun.
We do love him. Know? Everyone thinks
we have love in common. We have, much more. We have a sense of humor. We make each other laugh.
Yes, we do.
And we have certain intellectual areas in which we overlap, where we're both interested in stuff, but there's areas where we're like, oof, like opposite ends of the spectrum.
You like my cooking.
I do love your cooking.
I'm a good lover.
She thinks that... No, honey.
What do you mean, no, no, no? What do you mean, no? What?
You need to brush up on your skills.
Oh, my gosh. Honey.
We have... She thinks we have bad communication, but I think people look at our relationship and think we have incredible. What do you think?
I do.
Like, what do you think? Put the camera on and go back over there and talk, and I want to see what you say. Because I think we have good communication. when you miscommunicate a lot and you realize like it escalates into like a misunderstanding because you're miscommunicating and you figure that out, which we're getting better at, we miscommunicate a lot, but that doesn't necessarily mean we have bad. We have a lot of communication, lots of loving communication,
yeah.
A lot of really funny communication. Sometimes it errs on the side of ball breaking too much. Like we bust, I turned her into a monster. Now I've turned her into like a new worker in that way, where she's very much into busting my chops for no reason. Like I usually try to, but see, I do it too. I just do it out of nowhere for no reason. I just throw like a haymaker.
No, because I'm like, thinking to myself.
I just said you're a cauliflower of the brain. I didn't need to say that.
Right, you didn't. But the thing is that we have another possibly 30 years of marriage ahead of us. It's possible. If we have another 30 years of this marriage left and you're going to remain being you, then I need to transform myself into a much more aggressive Long Island type of girl who can get in your face a little bit.
Massapequa.
You certainly have become that a little bit.
And Ed, what did you say last week? You're hurting my feelings.
And I feel like when we do miscommunicate,
totally disregards
when
that
we
I said
when
that.
We do miscommunicate, it's because I am walking on eggshells. Like you feel like you're walking on eggshells too, but I feel like I'm walking on eggshells because I want to bring something up, but I'm afraid to bring it up because am I on? I'm afraid to bring it up. Hi, Dad. Because I'm afraid I'm going to trigger like an anxiety attack. So I don't say anything. And you have this passive aggressive, non-verbal form of communication.
That's what causes my anxiety.
Where I'm saying you screwed up again without saying you screwed up again. And she knows I'm saying it without words. And then she gets angry at me. And all, it's like my brother Daniel and I in the backseat of my father's car when he was driving. He would hit me. And I would say, you know, knock it off, fatso. And because I called him fatso, he hit me. But I couldn't fight him. He was twice my size. So the only thing I had was my mouth.
Yeah.
So every time I called him fatso, he hit me. Every time he hit me, I called him fatso. And every time I called him fatso, he hit me. And it just never ended.
Fatso is such a 70s word, I love.
Right, right. And that's what it's like with fatso over here.
Yes.
No, that's what it's like. By the way, she's put on a couple pounds in all the right places.
Oh, yeah. I heard.
I love it. I love it. So
that's what it's like with her. Like, I don't want to say anything. It's like, now's not the right time. And I'm kind of walking on eggshells because I want to say something, but I'm afraid I'm going to upset her, and I'm afraid it's going to trigger an anxiety attack. So I don't, and then I keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And there's times where I bring it up, and she's like, really, you're going to bring that up now? And she's kind of right, because it's 7:30 in the morning, and we've been awake for 15 or 20 minutes. She's like, this is really the way you want to start my day? I said, no, it's not, I'm not picking a fight with you. It's just things we need to talk about, like with our kids. Believe me, I don't want to get into all of it now, but there's like serious, serious stuff we could talk about any one of our three kids right now that is like, we've talked about it 10 times in the last 3 months and we've taken no action on it. We keep saying, we're going to do that. And then another 2 weeks go by and I'm like, do you think we should talk about that situation with so-and-so? We're going to do that. And we're not doing, remember we were talking before about that therapy? I don't know what it was called.
Yeah.
That treatment. Like we've been talking about that in the short term for like 2 months and in the long term for like 5 years. Like we've been watching you laughing. But I get afraid to say something because I'm afraid I'm going to trigger like an anxiety attack. So this stuff gets a little bit pent up and I get frustrated and I start communicating in a nonverbal way, which makes her go down the rabbit hole. And then we get into this death spiral. Like, do you ever see when birds are crabbing?
Yeah.
When they're fighting and they're spiraling, like they're in a death spiral, they're like swirling and they're playing with each other. Well, same thing, but we're not playing.
Yeah, but what's cool about, I mean, honestly, with your marriage, it is you both are so transparent and you do communicate. Even if the communication, whatever, is not always great, my parents didn't communicate well. Like my dad barely spoke. He would get home from work and he would barely speak to my mom. And like, but you guys are so open.
Do you think she was living in kind of a quiet desperation?
She was maybe
depressed.
She's on pills.
So with my mom from like the late 60s.
My mom too. See, oh my gosh.
Was your dad really open and vulnerable? No.
No.
Of course not. You guys are. You're open and vulnerable with each other. You
the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yes, and that's what...
No, we have a lot in common, but there's certain things that we don't have in common at all. There's not enough overlap. And I thought maybe I never thought and hoped or expected wrestling would be one of them, unless like Vance was on the wrestling team and we went to the matches together, and then you would learn more about it or something. He wound up being 6'4", 150 pounds, so he wasn't a wrestling player. He was a basketball player. But I certainly thought my political advocacy is something that would interest you over time, and 30 years later, you have moved the needle. Think about that much.
I thought you'd get into Jesus.
And here I am on your show.
I go to church
more than you do.
Yes. What Billy doesn't know is that he's going to be
face planting.
He's going to be face planting, and he's going to be a pastor one day and preaching at a church. This is what you don't know.
This is what you don't know.
You don't know this yet, but it'll all come to pass.
It'll all come to pass, Pastor.
Could be.
You never know Shabbat what shalom. God's up to. Shabbat shalom.
So I really don't know, like, when we say Ricky and Lucy, we are, like, we're kind of Ricky and Lucy,
Lucy in reverse.
She's the Cuban band leader, right? Yes. She's in the band and the songwriter, and she speaks Spanish. But she's also the crazy, zany Lucy comedic side, too. So I don't know really what I am, but we have a Ricky and Lucy relationship.
You're Ricky. You're the controlling, putting the band together, the leader of the show, and I'm just always ruining everything for you.
Lucy, you cannot be in the show.
Lucy!
No, but I think it's a good, like, from the outside in, I know you guys don't have that perspective because you've been together for how long? Not 25, 30 years?
Yeah.
You don't have this perspective, but from the outside in, I have not seen a healthier marriage in a long time.
Really?
Like, seriously. You guys are so real with each other and open and honest, and you interact. You the fact that you guys spend so much time with your kids is insane. Like, mm-hmm. I never got that from my parents. And so I just, from the outside in, I think it's an amazing relationship.
Well, I love, I mean, obviously the greatest thing I ever achieved in my life. You don't have to keep panning back and forth.
He'll be editing this, trust me.
No, I like the pin.
One of the greatest success and the thing that I'm most proud of and respect most of anything I've ever done in my life is probably first the family we created and second our relationship. But you can't have the first without the second. I mean, maybe we're first, but we're second. The kids and the family are first. But what we've accomplished is pretty significant. I don't think people realize that are in the situation we're in, or they're even in the doldrums, they're in the complacency, they're in the sort of the disease of complacency in a relationship where there's atrophy. I don't think people realize how you can change that and turn, and I'm being hypocritical right now because we're due for a dose of this, but you could really change the flow. I always say you could change the, you'd reverse the course of the Mississippi, you get the flow of the relationship going back in a really, really cool, positive direction with just a couple simple tricks.
And electroshock therapy.
I agree. I think you can do that with a couple little, maybe we'll save that for a show. We'll talk about it for a show.
I mean, have you guys, not that this has to be aired or whatever, but have you guys talked about couples therapy?
We've done it before. She doesn't like it.
You don't like it.
I don't love the therapy thing. I would be willing to do it. It's just that I feel like when we do therapy that he basically makes them fall in love with him and then I become the bad guy.
That's code for he said, she said. She goes by herself, then I go by myself, and then we go together. Because a lot of times, if you're our therapist, right, there's certain things I can say, and certain ways in which I can say it to you when we're alone that I can't say it when I'm sitting next to China quite, because I just have to like say it my way, and so that you hear like my reality and my truth. And then when we get together, we examine that issue. She turns me into like federal prosecutor in closing arguments. And because she's, you want to know why, really, basically? Because she lies. I mean, she lies in therapy. We're paying all of this money for therapy and then she lies. She lies. And then she turns
Isn't
me into
a
like
song?
Giuliani
she lies.
In closing arguments against like putting Gotti away. Okay. And then she feels bad because I wouldn't say it's a gift or a power, but that's the way she would interpret it. I have a way of presenting an argument that I can articulate it in a way that's a little bit more effective than she can. So it comes across like I'm right and she's wrong. And there's a reason for that.
Was there ever a time where you guys...
That's not nice.
No, I'm kidding. I'm so sorry.
Was there
I'm so sorry. I'm so happy.
Was there ever a time where you guys like almost called it quits?
Yeah, she tried to divorce you. She filed.
I did.
She filed.
What? Where? Why? When?
You want to hear something really great? Before you tell that story, because I have to go. She did it, and she gave the lawyer a $15,000 check. And at the end of the meeting, he handed it back to her. I've never heard of this before. He said, this doesn't sound like a relationship that's supposed to end. Do me a favor, go to therapy with your husband, work on your relationship, come back in 6 months. If you feel the same way, I'll cash the check.
Praise God.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's awesome.
That guy didn't take the money. Good. Now I want to hear you tell this guy.
It's a long story, but I met Billy in 91. I was 23 years old. When this all went down, I was 43 or something like that. And I had changed a lot and grown as a human being. And I just felt like Billy wasn't accepting the person that I had become. You texting right now is really getting in the way of me being able to have an effective dialogue with my audience.
Don't worry, it's just Justin and New Year's Eve.
Oh, it's just Justin Bieber stuff.
Sorry.
Well, it's Haley. It's not Justin.
But no, I mean, I made some mistakes. I definitely did. And I own up to that. And I know that I'm really grateful that I didn't end our marriage. I was pretty close.
I'm so glad you didn't.
I know.
I don't think you were. I don't think you realized.
That were you freaked out when she...
No, he never freaked out. He never thought I'd actually go through
with it. No. I was freaked out and I was very scared and mostly scared... And a little bit and sad and a little bit angry, but there's a large swath of that was confident that we were going to be okay because, and I say this, China gets angry when I say it. Keep it on you because you need your reaction to this, not me. We need your reaction to this.
We'll do a post reaction.
I just felt that China was experiencing, there was numerous things going on in her life that had nothing to do with me that were troubling her. Our relationship was one of what I kept saying was like a menagerie of things that were going on, you know, and I was one of them. The relationship was part of it. And I was a contributing factor. She wasn't the only problem in the relationship. There were things we needed to work on and improve. But I really felt like there was five or six different things going on, which I could easily list. Mackenzie's book was one of them. This is all going down at the same time. Financial challenges because we had...
Wait, but why did Mackenzie Phillips wrote a book about...
So the stuff that was in the...
But why was that? Why did that affect your marriage?
That's what I'm saying. It had nothing to do with me. She was flipping out because other things were going on in her life. Mackenzie's book and the revelations, financial hardship because I had done Dirty Sexy Money and we were backstroking in cash and all of a sudden the show got canceled and we had the meltdown of 2008 and we went seriously, we burned through that money and went into, so there's financial issues, you know, the whole thing with the Christian band China and Vaughn, all of a sudden she's never away from the kids, now she's doing 40 or 50 shows. She's going to be on the road for 3 or 4 months. She never went 72 hours without seeing the kids. Now she was going to see them twice a month for like 3 or 4 months. To work harder than she had worked in years, show after show after show on a tour bus for 4 months. Stuff that we were going through financially, stuff that was going on with Mackenzie.
You being controlling.
Well, I say, and then the stuff that was going on in our relationship. She used to say, I'd like to say she was at the sink doing the dishes looking out the window, but that never happened. But she'd be in the house and like watch me drive away in the car and she would say I could finally breathe again. And then all of a sudden the car would come back. She'd hear the car come up the driveway and hear the gravel crunching and hear the door close. And she would say it felt like somebody was like starting to sit on her chest again, like when I was back home. That is not good.
Yeah. I mean, but you also have to like take into account not only those things that were going on in her life at the time, but her childhood, which was super chaotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah. Right. So, I mean, I'm speaking for you.
You know, it's true.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I felt like if China could realize that I'm one of five or six things that are, there's been like the perfect storm, the planetary alignment of, this was a convergence of five or six things that all went down simultaneously.
And so what would you say your flaws are?
You don't have to answer that.
No, let's go. Number one.
I wish there was things about me that I could change that it doesn't.
Like what?
It's hard to change. It's hard.
Like what?
Well, some of the things that you would like for me to do.
No. What are some of the flaws that you think you have?
It's hard to tell your flaws are.
I think that we have an allergy to one another. The Ricky and Lucy thing, they have like an allergy. Like,
that's my flaw?
No,
we're talking about your flaws.
Right. I have something about me that you're allergic to. That's a flaw in me. and it's weird because when you're in a relationship, you know, when you really truly fall in love with somebody, you love everything about them, all of it. The vulnerabilities, warts and all, warts, all of it. Like, there were things about China that no one would categorize, she wouldn't perceive this, no one would perceive it as a compliment. And it was another reason that I was in love with her. It was like all of the flaws.
Very sweet.
What were the flaws?
I want to know what his flaws are. He won't tell me.
I'm getting there. So, you know, she's very super, super tough and confrontational in some ways. And like, completely like a delicate butterfly, like a California, like wall child, like child of a California wallflower, like the child of hippies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she is literally.
Yes, she is. So, you know, all of the stuff, the vulnerabilities, her issues, about her anxieties and all of her stuff from her childhood, her parents' addiction, different forms of abuse and stuff like that. All of that was like an attraction for me. And I think my way made her feel very safe and made her feel very protected. And she thought, oh my God, I'm finally with a guy who's never going to let anybody hurt me again. Because I had this energy and this attitude that made her feel safe and protected. And that's when I was doing it towards the world and she was hiding back here and she was protected back here. Well, all of a sudden I went, tick, 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 tick. Then I turned around and I started to subject her to that same energy, that same urgency, that same intensity. When I was when I felt taken for granted, or I felt, and all of a sudden that very thing about me that made her fall in love with me, the very thing that made her feel safe was making her fall out of love with me. Yeah. Because it was making her feel very unsafe. The very reason, not the very, but one of the reasons, one of the greatest attractions was me being this like sort of loudmouth from the East Coast who, and it's true, anybody
like ex-wrestler who could take like,
well, no, if anybody ever threatened my children, yeah, or my woman, you know, this is back when I could do something about it when I was, you know, 25, 35, 40 years old, and now I'm getting too old. Like I need another way to protect them. I need another way to defend myself. And I think that is, it's weird because my form of communication is something that she found attractive and found very protective. And then she was saying, I found you make me feel very unsafe now when you do that. And I need you to change it. And I thought like, okay, I'm going to try to do this. I think I can, but it's weird because where I come from, the girls that you do this to that are from where I'm from, it's a cultural thing. It's almost like a mating call. I keep saying it to China, it's like a mating call. It's like foreplay for the Italian and the Irish girls from Philly and Boston and New York. When you're from Long Island and you talk the way I talk, they give it right back to you. It's just like,
right. But if I give it right back to you, you escalate it. So you don't want me to give it right back to you.
No,
you
it
say
depends
that,
on
but
where
you don't
it's coming
mean it.
From. No, when you say it jokingly and lovingly, I think it's hilarious. When we're having a disagreement and I think I'm right and it's starting to escalate,
There's another one of your flaws. Can I just point it out?
Sure.
You think you're always right.
I don't know about that, because I have said to you numerous times, how many times, not a lot, but how many times have I said to you in the last year or two, you're right, I'm wrong, I admit it, I'm sorry.
Wow,
you've never heard those words?
Not many, no.
But when I thought that I was like, I apologize for it, I admitted it.
Okay, yeah, that's happened a few times. Have I? Do I do that? Do you feel like we both need to work on that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
we do.
Okay.
China does is when she turns me into federal prosecutor, and she's trained all of my kids to do this to me now. They've all turned on me.
That's not true.
Yes, they have. They've all turned on me because I walk into Brooke's room and I'll say, Brooke, when nobody's there, I'm not embarrassing in front of her. I'm like, Brooke, what did I say to you about the kitchen? What did I say to you about, like, when you make the mac and cheese and everything? And it's like, you're 16 now. And I'm not your housekeeper. You got to, like, And everyone does the same thing. They look at me like, okay, psycho.
That's hilarious.
And when people start telling me that, whenever they've done something wrong, it's never about what they've done wrong. It's about the fact that I actually had the balls to say something about it. And I said, well, how would you like me to say it? Would you want me to whisper? Would you like me to write a melody and I'll sing it to you? Would you like me to whistle while I say it? Do you want me to get on my knees and pray while I say it? I mean, how do you want me to say it? I'm just saying, you did something wrong, and you're looking at me like I'm crazy because I have the audacity to say to you, for the third time in 2 months, but you've done this 50 times, and I just haven't said anything the other 47 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what China does is every time I say something about something that's troubling me, she turns it into my attitude or my tone. Like, you know, I'm like, forget how I said it. I'll sing you a lullaby. I'll put it in a friggin' poem for you. Like, what do you want me to do? Just like, just hear the words. Okay, here we go. What are we going to do?
He's moody. That's definitely.
Oh, okay. You keep it on you. Good.
No, but are you moody? Oh boy. Okay, here we go. Listen, he's moody.
I would say that I. Yeah.
Okay. Do you let the sun go down on your anger?
Yes.
At night?
Yes.
Not a lot, but sometimes.
Okay. Can you do something right now for me?
Yes. What is it, Pastor? I'm scared.
Say this to each other right now.
Okay. Come here, Billy.
Say I'm sorry for forever hurting you, and I love you. I love you.
All right. So I'm sorry for ever hurting you, and I love you.
Yeah. Can you say that?
Are you going first?
Like, you have to be sincere, too.
I'm sorry for ever hurting you.
Say it!
I thoroughly meant to do that seriously. I'm sorry for ever hurting you, and I'm madly in love with you. I love you so much.
China?
I'm sorry for ever hurting you, and I love you so much.
Was that? Why are you laughing?
Because I was trying to feel it.
Oh, come on.
I was trying to feel it, but I couldn't feel it.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't feel it. I was numb. I was not passive. I was numb.
I couldn't feel
anything. It's terrible. Don't judge me. Judge not. Here we go. We're going to do it again.
I did. I was great.
You were?
Yeah.
I didn't feel it.
You're just admitting you can't feel anything.
Say it again.
I love you so much, and I hate when I hurt you.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Of course I do. I tell you that all the time.
Aww.
Spit it out!
Okay. I love you so much, honey. I love you so much, and I'm really sorry that I hurt you. I don't want to hurt you, but you hurt me so much.
No, but
hurt you back.
Just end it. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Cut. And take two. And
action.
I love you so much. And I never mean to hurt you, even though I know I do a lot. And I'm so sorry.
No, kiss.
She talks about the great actress. She can't even get through a take. She can't even get through a take.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You can't. Okay. You're so cute with that hat on, too. Everyone's going to hate me, and they're all going to love you.
Don't kiss me like we're freaking 90! Yes, kiss me, kiss me. See?
It's okay, easy. Good.
Yay! I don't like the way China puts all this dread on situations all the time about, you know I hurt you so much. You don't. You don't.
What do you mean?
You just said, I'm sorry I hurt you so much. And I know I do. I hurt you so much. I know I do.
I don't?
What are you talking about? No.
I don't?
You bring me so much laughter and joy.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
That happens when you're depressed. That's the way you perceive the world.
It is.
And you should be. You should be. Everybody that watches, well, not on Beckett Show, they know we are going through what everybody else in the world is going through right now with the pandemic and not working and financial insecurity. Plus, we have another layer that most of them don't have with a child whose health was at risk.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, as anybody out there who knows,
yeah,
and you can never, ever know,
yeah,
what it feels like in your heart when you go to bed at night when you have a child that's sick and that you have a child that has compromised health. And it's, you know, it's a dangerous situation. And mm-hmm. you'll never know the horror of like how we've done it. I have no clue, especially you. Like, you've been like warrior mom and you've been wearing a cape. She started freaking out when we came home from the hospital again last week. And she came home and she like had... she came back and she started crying. Things were going wrong with Christmas. Long story short, we had a tree. You saw it. And
oh, the tree's amazing.
The tree's amazing. So pretty. Yeah.
It's called a noble fir.
It looks like a Charlie Brown tree.
But that's what's beautiful about a noble fir is that you see the lights on the inside of it? We wrap the trunk. With the lights back on me, please. What do you think I have all day? So, she was not thrilled about... We wound up down at Cedars for like 4 days longer than we were supposed to be this. By the time we got back, we lost 4 days of final preparation. We got back on Tuesday and Christmas was Friday.
Yeah.
And I was so spent that I was like, I don't care. Like, if my kids wake up and we take advantage of all the Christmas bargains on the 27th of December and we get them twice as much for half the price, I could care less. Because you usually get them, you know, two or three nice things and then five or six practical things. We'll get them like a computer or something they need. And then some nice clothes.
Pair of socks.
Yeah. Whatever practical stuff. Stuff they need. Usually clothes, gift card or whatever. We don't go crazy.
An Outback.
So we weren't checking that box this Christmas, and Shauna is like hysterically crying, and just, you know.
Well, he'd been through a lot.
I'm saying, I mean, think about how you've performed. At one point, we were at the hospital, and they changed their COVID protocol, and they said no. The whole time we were there, no visitors except the mother and father, no siblings. So Jameson and Brooke couldn't see Vance. And then, 5 days into it, or 4 days into it, they said, only one parent, no switching. So one parent can continue to see him, and the other parent, you can't alternate days with parents. So she just looked at me like Tiger Mom, and she looked at me like, if you think I'm leaving his side, you're high. So I didn't even say a word. I was like, clearly. And, you know, I really thought a mother's love when, like, it comes to you giving him foot rubs and stuff like that. And
you need your mom.
And bringing him, you know, matzo ball bra, whatever it was. It was just like, it was a loving situation. There's a tenderness that's part of healing that comes better from a mom. And I just like, I was like, okay. The last 3 days he was in the hospital, I couldn't go in the hospital because of COVID, because of the spike we're in right now. So it was leading into the holidays. And you know, you just have been...
I lost it on Christmas Eve.
You have been such a superhero. But how we got on this, I don't know. We've been digressing all over the place. We were talking about my flaws, and you definitely, I am
you
moody.
You don't like to talk about your flaws.
I am
so
moody.
It's easy to digress.
I am moody. I can be intense.
But don't you want to be happier?
I think that's...
Don't you want to be happier, honey?
I don't think I'm a person that flies up the escalator, you know, the elevator with super high highs. And I do wish in general that I wasn't, I didn't have as much to worry about as I do. I get bogged down and.
You get cranky?
I get moody.
You get moody.
I get moody.
Yeah. We all do.
I get a little urgent. I get moody. I get a little urgent. I get a little intense. I get moody. It probably is. I'm sure China will tell you when I'm not here, and the kids, she'll tell you that the kids have told her that it's difficult energy to be around sometimes. But I don't think I'm like an angry person or an overwhelmingly depressed or a downer of a personality. I'm interesting to be around. I'm fun to be around.
You have lots of waves, though. And that's what's hard to keep up with. It's hard to keep up with his waves. I never know who I'm getting. You know, like one second, you walk out the door whistling, you come back in grumpy. Or, you know what I mean? That guy, that's my issue sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I can understand why you feel that way.
Yeah.
But I told you, you know.
But you only have
three. I'm a caveman. She knows I'm a caveman. I've told you I'm a caveman.
Yeah.
I need three things.
What are the three things again?
The three things are ham and cheese.
He never eats ham.
That's a joke.
Don't ruin the joke.
Get in the way of my life, okay?
Ham and cheese.
I need her to check three boxes, okay? Take care of the kids. I want to do it when she's not around. I want to do it with her. I want to make sure she
When you put take care of the kids on there, that makes me feel like you think I don't take care
you're
of the kids.
You're not let.
No, you're a super mom.
Okay, let's start this again. And cut. And take two. And
action.
So, A. Becky, I'm a caveman. All right, I need three things. You check these three boxes, and we're all set. Okay, three things. I want us to take care of the kids. China does a great job. She's an amazing mother.
Yes.
But we do it together. Check. We do it when she's not around on the road. Check. I do it. Check. When I'm not around. Check. I want to make sure that my children are provided for, taken care of, mostly in the form of emotional intimacy, which she does way better than I do. Like getting down and dirty one-on-one with each kid and having an emotional connection with them. Like they're much more deeply emotionally connected to her than me. That's one. Take care of my kids. Check. Number two, I need a ham and cheese. All right. And number three, I usually phrase this differently when the cameras aren't rolling. I need some more ham and cheese.
Sexual intimacy.
I need some action. And I said, if you check those three boxes, every 72 hours, if you achieve emotional intimacy, have a nice home-cooked meal, and we have sexual intimacy twice a week, I will never complain for the rest of it. And she said, oh, you'll just find something. I said, let's just have a trial run. Let's just see how it goes for 6 weeks. Let's just see how it goes. And amazing. She did great, and I did great, and we were just swimming along. And she was right. She said, you'll find something else to complain about.
And he did.
I did. And the only other thing that I found that I complained about was reckless and irresponsible spending, which you are so good about, like 98% of the time. And you walk into this woman's closet and you'll be stunned, right? You'll faint. There's nothing in there. Very, very modest wardrobe. She drives a nice car, but nothing super fancy, you know? But when it comes to two things, when it comes to like wellness protocols and all natural and all organic and all these, you know, digestive enzyme. We spend tons and tons of money on that. And the other thing is when it comes down to crunch time, I mean, there was a time in my career where I used to get nervous. I don't want to say it like out loud, but when my bank account went below a certain number, I would get nervous.
Like 500,000.
Yeah. Like that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, how many times my bank account has gone under $5,000 since Dirty Sexy Money got canceled in 2008.
How many times?
Like 100 times.
But you mean below 500,000?
No, below 5,000.
But like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
That's intense. 5,000.
And everybody here thinks, oh, these rich people, these famous people. No, I had to go out and go do another steaming pile of Alpo dog food in the form of some stupid movie that I didn't want to do. And if I had money in the bank, I would have turned it down. But I have a family. You know, I remember being on the set of Flatliners. I'm digressing, but with Kevin Bacon. And he said, I'm paraphrasing Kevin, but he said, I used to sit in my ivory tower with, you know, and like turn down all of these offers, trying to figure out what, and again, I'm paraphrasing, like what my next statement I wanted to make about me as an artist, my next creative choice. He goes, and then I married Kira and I had the two kids and I became Fred Flintstone. I picked up the lunch pail and the hard hat and I just had to go to work to support my family. And that's the way it's been for me for a long time, even since before the kids. I mean, to live in New York and live in Santa Barbara and live in Santa Monica, the cost of living, it's like five times higher than living in Indiana. You know what I mean? We have to be more responsible with our spending sometimes. I've always said it comes down to we have to pay our rent or our mortgage, whatever situation we're in at that time. Gas, you know, rent, utilities, gas, food, and like one or two other things. And that's, you cannot spend any money on anything else until like further notice, until like somebody says, here comes the next, you know, the next little portion of money or the next truckload of money. I mean, I don't make truckloads unless I'm a series regular on a show. It could be, you know, a Netflix show for 10 episodes, or it could be a network show for 25 episodes. Either one, that's when you're a series regular, you get paid pretty comfortably.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but we have to wrap it up with just the two of us because he's great, but we need to end it together here.
We do it,
Billy, thank you for your time.
Woo! So how did you feel about all that?
Honey child.
Did you feel like you kissed and made up?
No. No. I mean, what's there not to love? He's a very, very
You
loving.
Guys are great together.
We're perfect for each other. That's the problem.
That's the thing.
That's the thing.
So you have 30 more years of Billy, so that's great.
Hey, one day at a time. Yeah. And, you know, the marriage is, it's biblical that there's a power struggle. It's biblical that there's going to be a power struggle between man and woman. That's part of the fall.
And also, I mean, what people may not know on my show is that, you know, you guys are kind of unequally yoked. China's on fire for the Lord. Billy, not so much.
No, he's on fire for Twitter and I'm just kidding.
You know, I don't know. Is he a professing Christian or like what?
No.
So Billy's not a Christian, but we know that he's going to be one because we pray for him all the time. And you guys pray for him too because he's awesome and we would love to. Because I think that that's what you're really longing for. Mm-hmm. When all the bickering, it's like I think when Billy gets saved, it's just going to be like,
yeah.
And it's going to be so much peace. There's going to be so much peace and joy and like harmony in your relationship.
I agree.
So Lord, we just pray for that.
Yes, we do. And, you know, it can't come a day soon, too soon.
Yeah.
It can't come a day too soon.
Amen.
But he's a great guy and he's, an amazing husband and
a supporter.
I'm not just trying to end it with a pretty bow. I mean, we have issues clearly, but
he's supportive of Cal Preach. He's supportive,
very supportive of Cal Preach, and he goes to church. You know, if he could go to church right now, he would. And you know, if I said to him, I want to read a Bible verse with you every single morning and let's pray, he probably would. So maybe I need to be a little bit more like, let's do this together. Let's share this together. Mm-hmm. Even though he might come a little, you know, begrudgingly or whatever, it might not be his thing. He would do it. And that's the beauty.
Yeah.
He's like open. You know what I mean? He's not saying that's you, not me. He's not putting up walls. That
yeah. Way. He's so soft hearted. Even today he was like, oh, I don't have time to have lunch with you guys. And then of course he ends up having lunch with us.
And an hour long interview on your show, which is like, we prayed about that this morning. I mean, is God not good?
Yeah.
We said, Lord, soften his heart and help him to just be open. And then God is so gracious. Not only did he sit down and join us for lunch, he did an hour interview for you for your show.
Yeah, and you don't know this, but I gave him a copy of my book.
I saw that next to his bed.
I know. And I said, Billy, just read chapter 1 and 2, because they're so fast. The chapters are really fast. I said, just read chapter 1 and 2. It'll take you 15 minutes, 20 minutes max.
Amen.
And he's like, okay, I will. So I'm excited about that because it's all, those two chapters are like me going from darkness to light. And I want him to see that, like really, that detailed kind of transition.
Yes.
Thank you for being on the Becca Cook Show.
Yes. I'm so honored.
Yeah, guys, please, thank you for joining us. And
thank you for liking and subscribing and sharing.
It was group therapy.
It was group therapy.
Thank you for being a part of our group therapy.
And happy new year. And, you know, we wish you guys all the best in 2021. And
we do.
We just pray that God's just going to keep moving and keep saving souls. So
amen.
Peace of Christ.
Peace of Christ.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Beckett Cook Show. Your support makes this content possible. All episodes of The Beckett Cook Show are also available on YouTube. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com.
Hey, Ted, what do you want to do today?
Well, Ashley, I've always got work to do, naps to take. But I have a better idea. How about we invite everyone to listen to the Team Us podcast?
I love that idea. Let's do it right now. Hi, everyone. We're Ted and Ashley Slater, and we'd love for you to join us as we talk about teamwork in marriage.
We share how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
To listen, go to lifeaudio.com and search for Team Us.